Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. So we're heading to the weekend of what could be Super Saturday, depending on how the population plays it. As of tomorrow, you'll be able to go to the pub, restaurants, hang out inside with one other household. There's a whole plethora of activities. Of course, they don't apply, however, if you live in Leicester. So, James, are the government nervous? Because one of the things we've heard in terms of criticism is the fact that they're relaxing everything on a Saturday. We've also heard in the past hour that pubs are going to be open from 6 a.m. or they have the option to be open from 6 a.m.
So first of all, pubs can only be open from 6 a.m. if they have a licence in normal times that would allow them to be open from 6 a.m. So that's going to be a very small number of pubs. I think there is undoubtedly a risk to the fact that
that's Katie's weekend plan, no change. Alarm set for 5:45, Katie. Yeah?
There is undoubtedly a risk that these changes are happening on a Saturday. And you can see an argument that it would be better for it to be happening on a kind of Tuesday or something like that. And they're gonna, so you know, fewer people take advantage of it. But the polling suggests that we've seen that not that many members of the public are actually intending to head out this weekend. And I think that in the same way, there is a danger that, you know, there are huge crowds outside every pub. There's equally a risk for the government that, you know, they open up the economy and everyone stays at home. I think that the government are clearly nervous, though, because Boris Johnson is going to give a press conference later today to basically encourage everyone not to kind of rip the pants out of it and to be restrained and take it easy and be sensible. And I mean, there is a big question here. Obviously, if this ends up with kind of New Year's Eve style scenes in A&Es across the country, it will be a problem, a political and presentational problem for the government, but also probably a problem in terms of the spread and transmission of this virus. If people are sensible and restrained, then you can begin to see that, you know, there could be, there's obvious potential economic and well-being benefits to getting back to something approaching normal.
Fraser, polling has suggested actually not that large a chunk of the population really wants to go to the pub. But at the same time, it's rarely been the case that 100% of the UK would be going to the pub. So what do you think we can expect in terms of take up? And do you think we're going to see perhaps once again that common sense is something the country has, even if there are a few pictures of people going mad, but not me at 6 a.m.
Well, there is up the road from me a pub which has been open for some time, not entirely legally, but you can be able to buy pints there. The problem there is that the beer they're selling, they've had in the barrel for quite a few months. Now, this will be a problem. So I was advised by my neighbour that, yes, sure, you can get a sneaky pint there, but you better be careful because they need to get rid of all of their stock. So there might be some hiccups when it comes to drinking. And also, let's remember, this regime where you've got to, in theory, give your name to the landlord and all the other strictures. A lot of people might think it's better to sit home and wait and until things settle down a bit. As far as I'm concerned, the major problem of lockdown is people working from the office. Now, I've got a vested interest in being somebody who runs what you might call a small company, which works a lot better when people are in the office. But the government hasn't changed its advice there. Its advice remains to work from home if you can. That makes it pretty much impossible for people to say to their colleagues, please come to the office. And also there is the advice on public transport, which is to only take it if there's no alternative. Now, that again makes it very difficult to resume normal business. So yes, you can walk to the pub. A few of these things will be nice. I know that Cindy, you, our producer, has got a pub booked. Is it Saturday afternoon, Cindy?
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some people who are making dates with normality in this way. But for me, the bigger test will be when we can just resume our life and resume office work. And I was reading, there's a very interesting study out from the Institute of Fiscal Studies this morning, which points at the penalty the young people pay by not having been allowed in the office. Young people learn, they get trained by being around others. And by working from home for a long time, this basically suits the boss class. People like me with a family of three and a big house in the suburbs, that it would suit me a lot more to stay in there, to be in my big house, to not come into the office, to save myself for 2 hours a day of commute. But it's against the interests of somebody starting their career in an office who is learning so much of a job. Now, they're going to lose out in training. They're going to lose out in development potential, perhaps even promotions. So in a way, lockdown has been an element of it, is a conspiracy of the middle-aged against the young. And I'm very keen for this to end, because I think the damage the Institute of Fiscal Studies talks about, in this case, the earnings potentials of the young being stymied, is just one of the many things that we haven't really begun to think about yet.
And James, just on that, we've obviously hearing about the roadmap the government's put forward, which is returning the country to some form of normality. People will be able to do various things as of the weekend. We'll also get onto air bridges shortly. So there's, you know, depending on where you want to go on holiday, it's now possible to holiday again. But there have been warnings, you know, from the weekend onwards about how, if you don't have, you know, lots of people returning to the office, how do you actually fix the economy, in the sense city centres would have to quite radically change? So it might be that if you think about white collar workers, they can work remotely depending on their job. Some big companies are already pushing back returns quite a long time. But there are lots of businesses that are based on the idea of lots of people going to the office. So do you think this is something the Treasury will look at as time goes on, or is the sense that actually one of the things that you can get people to do quite easily is work from home, and that helps with the R number?
You can see this in where the redundancies are happening. You know, it's no coincidence that Upper Crust, a sandwich shop largely based in stations, is laying off large numbers of staff, because the commuters who they normally sell their sandwiches and their coffee to are just not coming. Now, I understand that from next week onwards, you know, providing we don't have kind of, you know, scenes of carnage on over the weekend, that from next week onwards, these announcements on public transport telling people not to be on the train or the tube or the bus unless their journey is essential will be junked. And I think that is obviously a step forward to removing the pressure on people. But I also think what we see here is this nervousness about encouraging people to do things in case it pushes up the R number. I do think it is interesting, though, that Annalise Dodds of Labour Shadow Chancellor today has encouraged people to kind of to go out this weekend. And I think that shows you a kind of recognition that you know, but there is, you know, if no one goes back out, yeah, then there are going to be hideous, horrendous job losses in the hospitality and the entertainment sector.
But the funny thing is, it's a mixed message. Yes, please go out to the pubs, but B, please don't take public transport. And the government has still failed to resolve these things. And I think that's going to be the problem. I mean, sure, the story of this weekend will be go down to your local. And I'm certainly going to try to venture to do that. And any sort of little thing of normality you can grasp, people will do so quite willingly. But these pubs will not be back to normal for some time. A lot of them will find it very difficult to cope with the new regime. And also restaurants. We had some restaurants announcing bankruptcies last night, looking ahead to this regime and thinking, no, we're not going to be able to make it through. It's partly the social distancing, partly the expected demands, and partly that a lot of pubs and restaurants were already on the brink of profitability before the virus struck. So I think while, you know, tomorrow is not a classic Independence Day in that things are going to go back to normal for quite some time, it will be a step towards that. But just how big a step is something I think we can only guess at this stage.
And finally, those looking to book a summer holiday have to be given clarity from the government in terms of at least the UK side. James, what are we looking at in terms of air bridges? Has the list of countries gone up actually higher than initially thought? And why is the government not getting rid of the quarantine policy full stop in that case?
So this quarantine is a focus-driven, group-driven policy, not a scientific, evidence-based policy. And it has always been an absurdity. And the government is easing up the restrictions. And so basically now you'll only have to quarantine if you're coming from a high-risk country. But having to categorise countries as high-risk or not high-risk is undoubtedly going to cause some diplomatic upset and difficulties on that front. I think the other hold up is that initially I think people in the Westminster government thought that this was a UK-wide decision because it's about borders. But the quarantine actually occurs under a health regulation, which means it's actually devolved. So the Scottish and Welsh and Northern Irish governments can choose to do their own things on this. And this is one of the other things that has held up the decision, because the Westminster government has been trying to bring the devolved administrations along, and the devolved administrations have been pushing back on some of this stuff.
And James, when we're looking at the various countries, I think some of the ones we were already expecting, so Spain, Germany, France, also looking at, you know, Croatia and Cyprus. Any word on, you know, countries such as Sweden?
I haven't heard anything about Sweden. I know that America is going to not be on this white list of countries.
Fraser, are you looking forward to a summer holiday?
I have got my flight booked to Sweden 2 weeks today. And I'm really looking forward to it. I've got friends over there right now, and they say it basically is fantastic. It's just like a normal country used to be. There are bars and restaurants open, and the COVID cases have been less than Britain. That's a funny thing. A lot of these countries we're putting in quarantine have coped with the crisis way better than the UK has. And yes, as things stand, I will have to quarantine when I come back for 2 weeks. But it is a price worth paying, because, you know, my wife wants to see her family. I would quite like to just go and see for myself just how Sweden has coped with the last few weeks. And I tell you, in summer, there is no nicer place on earth other than the Scottish Highlands.
Or the Spectator Garden. Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.